Chapter 5. The Feds. While the rest of us reeled from the surprise that Marge had a sister, and one who was an FBI agent, no less, the three other people who'd been on the helicopter gathered behind Molly O'Malley. There were two men and a woman, and they all appeared to be FBI agents as well. They all dressed exactly the same, in dark suits and sunglasses. They hung back from us, though, allowing Molly to run the show. I was looking back and forth between Marge and Molly. I had never seen two sisters who looked so different. Molly was tall and skinny, while Marge was squat and round. Molly was impeccably dressed, while Marge looked as though she had slept in her clothes, then rolled around in the garbage for good measure. There were a dozen food stains on her uniform, ranging from chili to cheese whiz. Molly stood upright and radiated intelligence and confidence. Marge slouched, and the only thing she radiated was body odor. Everyone else from Fun Jungle was looking from one O'Malley to the other as well, except Chief Honecker. He kept his gaze riveted on Molly, his eyes narrowed in anger.
"We can handle this investigation on our own," he told her. "We don't need the FBI."
"This isn't a negotiation," Molly informed him. "It's a done deal. That panda isn't the property of Fun Jungle, it's the property of the country of China, which makes its theft an international incident. The nation's best law enforcement agency needs to be on this case, not a group of security guards."
"We are a fully operational police force," Honecker growled.
"J.J. McCracken doesn't seem to think so," Molly said with a smirk. "He's the one who tipped us off." Honecker's eyes widened in surprise. "Furthermore, this case doesn't even fall within your jurisdiction," Molly went on. "It didn't occur at Fun Jungle. It happened somewhere en route between San Diego and here, which means the panda crossed state lines, which makes this a federal crime, which, once again, mandates the presence of the FBI to investigate." Honecker didn't respond. He still appeared stunned that J.J. had called in the FBI. Molly gave him a smug smile, knowing she'd won this round. "So then, if you will hand over any evidence you have uncovered so far and disclose any discoveries you have made to my agents, I'd like to get started with this investigation right away." With that, she brushed past Honecker, heading for the panda truck. Honecker shook off his stupor and raced after her.
"Now hold on. My team has a right to be a part of this. The theft of that panda was a crime committed against Fun Jungle, for which we are the official law enforcement arm."
"Then perhaps you should have worked harder to prevent the crime in the first place," Molly told him. She hopped onto the loading dock and strode purposefully toward the truck. Honecker looked ready to explode, but before he could say anything, J.J. McCracken raced around the corner and intervened, desperate to keep the peace.
"Whoa there, Chief. Let's not say anything we're gonna regret."
J.J. was slightly out of breath, as though he'd run the whole way from his office. Several lawyers trailed behind him, like they'd been caught in his wake and sucked out of the administration building with him.
"She's the one with the attitude problem, not me," Honecker muttered to J.J. "Cocky feds. Why on earth did you call them?"
"Because the Chinese insisted on it."
Before Honecker could protest, J.J. held up a hand, silencing him.
"I know, it stinks. But I couldn't keep Li Ping's disappearance a secret from China. I've got billions of dollars in business interests over there, and I can't afford not to be a straight shooter with them. So if they want the feds involved, the feds are involved. Frankly, I probably would have had to bring them in sooner or later anyhow."
Honecker's frown grew even deeper, but he didn't say anything. He and J.J. followed Molly O'Malley up onto the loading dock, and the rest of us dropped in behind them. Molly was now examining the panda delivery truck from the outside. She seemed amused by Honecker's criminal investigation kit, which was still sitting on the dock.
"That's cute," she said mockingly, then asked, "So what have you found here?"
Honecker didn't answer right away, still annoyed by how everything was playing out. Molly groaned theatrically.
"Please tell me you're not going to get territorial over this. If I have to, I can get the U.S. ambassador to China on the phone, but I really think she has better things to do with her time."
Honecker sighed heavily, realizing he was beat, and coughed up what he knew.
It appears the truck was attacked while en route to Fun Jungle sometime last night. The attackers blew the lock off the rear door with what we believe was C4 putty explosive, then entered the truck, cut the chains on the panda's cage with bolt cutters, and forcibly removed both the panda and Doc Deacon, the veterinarian.
All while the truck was moving? Molly asked, sounding incredulous.
That appears to be the case, Honecker replied. I had someone stationed in the cab of the truck throughout the trip.
That be you, Marge? Molly interrupted, looking at her sister and raising an eyebrow.
Yes, Marge said.
Normally she was full of bluff and bravado, but it had all vanished in front of her sister.
Looks like someone removed Marge's spine, Summer whispered to me.
According to Officer O'Malley, Honecker went on, the truck made a pit stop at midnight near Las Cruces, New Mexico. At that time, Doc Deacon and Lee Ping were still inside the trailer, alive and well. Everyone took a bathroom break, and afterward, Doc was locked back in with the panda. The truck did not stop again until it arrived here shortly before 0900 this morning, when the disappearance of both Doc and Lee Ping was discovered.
Molly O'Malley made a face like she'd sucked on a lemon, as if she didn't like any of what she was hearing. And what evidence have you discovered in the truck?
Trace amounts of explosive, Honecker reported. No fingerprints as of yet.
Fibers? Molly asked.
Quite a lot, Honecker replied. But there's a good chance most of them are panda fur. We haven't had a chance to analyze them yet.
We'll handle that, Molly told him. And I understand there was a ransom note.
I have my own people doing analysis on that, Honecker began.
Not anymore, Molly said brusquely. We'll handle that as well. Any ideas who it might be from?
None yet, Honecker replied.
Really? Molly taunted. You don't have one idea? For example, exotic animal traffickers? Someone with a grudge against the Chinese government? A radical animal rights group like the Nature Freedom Force? Honecker laughed dismissively at this.
The NFF is a rinky-dink group of radicals. They hand out anti-zoo pamphlets at our front gates and picket construction sites. They don't have the know-how to pull off a complex job like this.
I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss them, Molly said coolly. You'd be surprised what they're capable of. And we've picked up some chatter from them over the past few weeks.
Chatter? I asked.
Molly suddenly swiveled toward me. I couldn't read her expression behind her sunglasses, but it didn't appear she was happy to be interrupted, and by a kid, no less. It occurred to me that the rules had changed. The last time there'd been a crime at Fun Jungle, I'd been allowed to ask questions. Honecker might not have appreciated it, but it had been allowed. Now it seemed that I had spoken out of turn. Molly removed her glasses, allowing me to see her eyes for the first time. They were a piercing green, the same color as the skin of an emerald tree boa, and they seemed to be boring right through me.
"You must be Theodore Roosevelt Fitzroy," she said. "I've heard quite a lot about you from my sister. She says you're a real troublemaker."
"Your sister is wrong," I replied.
"It wouldn't be the first time."
Molly looked to Marge again and gave her another cruel smile.
"Anything you've heard about Teddy being troublesome is erroneous information," J.J. said quickly. "Your sister, and all of us at Fun Jungle, have found him to be of great help in solving several cases here. He might only be a boy, but he's a regular Encyclopedia Brown. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have him around."
Molly laughed. "At the FBI, we don't need children to help us solve our crimes. We're fully capable of handling them on our own." The three FBI agents laughed at this as well. No one who worked at Fun Jungle thought it was funny, even Marge. Her annoyance at her sister seemed to even trump her usual annoyance at me.
"Speaking of which," Molly went on, then turned to face me and Summer, "this is a crime scene, children. You need to leave it, now."
She then shifted her attention to all the adults. "That goes for the rest of you, too.
This area is restricted to FBI personnel, unless I request your presence. And at the moment, the only person I need is Chief Honecker."
With that, she turned her back on everyone, as though we had suddenly ceased to exist, and stepped inside the panda truck. On the loading dock, the other three FBI agents formed a human blockade between us and the crime scene. Honecker started to say something, but JJ caught his arm before he could.
"I know you're not happy about this," JJ told him, "but there's no point in arguing it. You're not going to win. So just be a good soldier, play ball, and help get Doc and my panda back."
JJ then turned to me, looking genuinely sorry.
"Looks like you're going to have to sit this one out, Teddy. I'm sure we can trust the feds to handle it. Come on, folks. We've all got better things to do than milling around here all day."
He headed back down off the loading dock. There was nothing to do but follow him. I glanced at Marge as we all left. She was glaring back at the panda truck. It occurred to me she'd only spoken two words to her sister.
"I can't believe this," Summer protested to her father. "How can they just come in here and kick all of us out like this?"
"Their job is to solve the crime," JJ explained. "How they do it is up to them."
"Well, if they want to solve the crime, why boot Teddy? He's the best crime solver we have."
"I'm not as good as the FBI," I pointed out. "I'm only 13.
"And barely 13 at that," Mom added. "To be honest, Summer, I'm glad this happened. I know Teddy has solved some other cases here, but he always ended up in danger as a result. You did too last time. I'd prefer that not happen again. Plus, it's not only an animal whose life is at stake this time. It's Doc, too. So I'm happy to leave this in the hands of the professionals for once."
At this, she gave JJ a glance. It was quick, but it was loaded with meaning. Mom was still angry at him for forcing me to help investigate the last case at Fun Jungle.
"Okay, Mrs. Fitzroy," Summer said. "I get it."
But then she leaned in close to me and whispered, "They're still making a mistake. I'll bet you could solve this with your eyes closed."
I grinned, pleased by Summer's faith in me, although I was secretly relieved to be kicked off the case.
Mom was right. In the past year, while investigating the various crimes at Fun Jungle, I'd been stranded in a room with a venomous snake, which had yet to be found, plunged into a shark tank, left face to face with an escaped tiger, barely avoided being trampled by elephants, gars, and cape buffalo, and dangled above a pit full of man-eating crocodiles. Plus, I wasn't as sure of my crime-solving abilities as Summer was. I might have cracked a few cases, but maybe that had just been luck. I had no idea how someone could have kidnapped Doc and Li Ping from a moving truck without Large Marge or the drivers noticing, and I feared that maybe this time I wouldn't figure it out, which would let everyone down and leave Doc and Li Ping in danger. So as we left the crime scene behind, I actually felt fine. Yes, I was annoyed with how dismissive Molly O'Malley had been about me, but overall, I was happy that a professional organization like the FBI had been brought in to solve the crime, and that, for once, an investigation was going to take place without me. Only, things didn't work out that way at all.